We read the Word of God this evening from the prophecy of Jonah, from a few passages in the book of Jonah. We read first verses 1 through 3 of Jonah 1 and verse 17 of Jonah 1, and then we'll read chapter 2, and chapter 2 will be the text for the sermon. Jonah 1, verses 1 through 3. Now the word of the Lord came unto Jonah the son of Amittai, saying, Arise, go to Nineveh, that great city, and cry against it, for their wickedness is come up before me. But Jonah rose up to flee unto Tarshish from the presence of the Lord, and went down to Joppa, and he found a ship going to Tarshish. So he paid the fare thereof, and went down into it, to go with them unto Tarshish from the presence of the Lord. And then what follows is the storm upon the sea, and the sailors finally taking Jonah up and casting him into the sea. And we read in verse 17 of Jonah 1, Now the Lord had prepared a great fish to swallow up Jonah. And Jonah was in the belly of the fish 3 days and 3 nights. And now begin the words of our text. Then Jonah prayed unto the Lord his God out of the fish's belly, and said, I cried by reason of mine affliction unto the Lord, and he heard me. Out of the belly of hell cried I, and thou heardest my voice. For thou hast cast me into the deep, in the midst of the seas, and the floods compassed me about. All thy billows and thy waves passed over me. Then I said, I am cast out of thy sight. Yet I will look again toward thy holy temple. The waters compassed me about even to the soul. The depth closed me round about. The weeds were wrapped about my head. I went down to the bottoms of the mountains. The earth with her bars was about me forever. Yet hast thou brought up my life from corruption, O Lord my God. When my soul fainted within me, I remembered the Lord. And my prayer came in unto thee into thine holy temple. They that observe lying vanities forsake their own mercy. But I will sacrifice unto thee with a voice of thanksgiving. I will pay that I have vowed. Salvation is of the Lord. And the Lord spake unto the fish, and it vomited out Jonah upon the dry land. That's God's word. May he bless it to us tonight and in the week ahead. Beloved in our Lord Jesus Christ, the prophet Jonah was a child of God who was loved by God from eternity and whose sins would be covered by the blood of Jesus Christ. But Jonah was a disobedient child of God who ran away from God's command to him. The word of the Lord came to Jonah one day, as we read in chapter 1, saying, Arise, go to Nineveh, that great city, and cry against it, for their wickedness is come up before me. God called Jonah to Nineveh to preach the gospel, to call the Ninevites to repentance and faith in the coming Messiah of the Jews. But Jonah rose up not to go to Nineveh, but to flee from the presence of the Lord and to go in the complete opposite direction. He went to Tarshish in the complete opposite direction from Nineveh. And he did that to try to go away from the presence of the Lord. And that doesn't mean that Jonah didn't know that God is in every place and his eyes see us wherever we are. But Jonah was trying to run away from the saving presence of Jehovah God, as God was present in the nation of Israel by his word and spirit and by his true worship in the temple. And Jonah tried to run away from God because he did not want the Ninevites to be saved. He did not think that the uncircumcised heathen who were enemies of God and of God's people were worthy of salvation. But that God's salvation is given only to those who show themselves worthy, such as the Jews. Jonah did not want a God who would save even the Ninevites. And that was Jonah's thinking, he makes plain himself when in Jonah chapter 4, verse 2, where he says, "When I was yet in my country, I said, I fled from before unto Tarshish, for I knew that thou art a gracious God and merciful, slow to anger and of great kindness, and repentest thee of the evil." Jonah knew that God was a gracious God, and that by his word he would convert the Ninevites from their wickedness to faith in Jesus Christ. And Jonah did not want that to happen. So he fled. He disobeyed the command of God and he ran away. But God did not let Jonah get away from him, as God does not let us get away from him when we try to flee from him. God followed Jonah, and he made Jonah to feel his displeasure in that storm upon the sea, to bring Jonah to his senses, as it were, his spiritual senses, to bring him to repentance and confession of his sin, and to see his own need for salvation in Jesus Christ. But to do that, God had to bring Jonah to the depths. Jonah was cast into the sea, and in that sea, Jonah imagined that he would drown. Remember that Jonah didn't know what would happen next. We can see what's going to happen next because we have the whole book of Jonah. But Jonah didn't know what was going to happen to him when he was cast into the sea. But the Lord prepared salvation for Jonah in that great fish, because God had work for Jonah yet to do as his prophet, as the rest of the book of Jonah makes plain, chapters 3 and 4, when Jonah was told again, "Go to Nineveh and preach repentance and faith in Jesus Christ to Nineveh." And Jonah did then. But before he could be restored, he had to understand his own need and utter dependence upon God. And God made Jonah to experience that in the fish's belly. But God also worked in Jonah's heart that repentance and that faith in God that is never lost, even in the midst of our most melancholy falls. But God gave Jonah a prayer in his heart, and brought that prayer forth from Jonah's lips there in the fish's belly, a cry out of the belly of hell. It's under that theme that we consider the text this evening, Jonah's cry or his prayer out of hell's belly. We notice first that it was uttered in affliction. Second, that it arose out of faith in Jehovah God. And third, that it was answered by Jehovah. Jonah cried unto the Lord his God out of the fish's belly. A simple and yet a very profound statement. Jonah's cry arose out of the midst of deep affliction. extreme affliction. First of all, from a purely physical and outward point of view, Jonah was in the belly of a fish, of a whale. As Jesus says in Matthew 12, verse 41, and there in the fish's belly, Jonah experienced things that we can hardly imagine, because none of us has ever been in a fish's belly. But we can imagine what it might be like. It was an utterly dark and cold and comfortless place. As the fish took in water to breathe, Jonah himself had to contend with the volume of water coming into the fish. And he was surrounded in that fish's belly by all of the decaying food that the whale had eaten, the bodies of dead and decaying fish. And we may have smelled decaying fish before, and we know that it is one of the worst smells in the world. Jonah was surrounded by that on all sides, by that smell of death. And he saw no end in sight. Jonah didn't know that God would speak to the fish and that that fish would vomit him out on dry land. As far as Jonah was concerned and as far as he knew, he would die in that fish's belly and spend the rest of his days surrounded by that stinking water and those decaying fish. Extreme affliction from a physical point of view. But Jonah's prayer, as it's recorded for us in the scriptures, revealed that he was in extreme affliction also from a spiritual point of view. In his heart and in his soul, he was tossed about by all kinds of doubts and temptations, fears and anxieties. The chief temptation that Jonah faced was to despair of God's mercy. He experienced that God was against him. He experiences, as he says in verse 4, that I am cast out of thy sight. In verse 7, he speaks of his soul fainting within him. And that word faint means to roll in on itself. His soul rolled in on itself like a turtle that withdraws into its shell when it faces some threat in its environment. Jonah's soul shrank under the extreme chastisement of the Lord. He felt that all God's waves and billows were passing over his head. All the anger, all the wrath, all the displeasure of Jehovah God passing over his head. And that he was sinking to the very bottoms of the mountains and being drawn down to the death by the weeds that were wrapped about his head. This is extreme affliction. Jonah felt himself abandoned by God, cast out from his presence, that there was a mountain range between him and God that prevented him from praying to God and prevented his prayers from coming into God's presence. But worst of all, Jonah knew that he deserved everything that he had coming to him, and in fact that he deserved more. He knew that he was in the midst of this affliction on account of his own disobedience. When he says in verse 8, they that observe lying vanities forsake their own mercy, Jonah is talking about himself and his own evaluation of his sin. He observed lying vanities. He served an idol. He served an idol of his own imagination. A God who saves those who are worthy, who make themselves worthy of his salvation. A God who saves only the Jews, not the God of the Scriptures. And in so doing, Jonah said, I forsook my own mercy. I tried to run away from the saving presence of the Lord in his church and in the nation of Judah. and I deserve everything that is coming to me. And in fact, I deserve far worse. Jonah summarizes his affliction in that striking phrase in verse 2, the belly of hell. He experienced the fish's belly as the belly of hell. The belly of hell, the place where hell is deepest, coldest, darkest, the place of utter abandonment by Jehovah God and utter separation from God, because that is what hell is, and that is certainly what the belly of hell is, separation from God forever. Jonah knew that apart from the saving and redeeming grace of God in Jesus Christ, that's where he would go if he died there in the fish's belly. Not to heaven and to the delights of God's eternal presence, but to hell and the place of God's eternal wrath. That was his experience. That's what he felt in his body and in his soul, in the fish's belly. Extreme affliction, the horror of hell, and separation from God. The canons of Dort in Head 5 speak of this experience of Jonah and of all of us at certain times in our life. Canons 5, Article 5, by such enormous sins, the saints very highly offend God and sometimes lose the sense of God's favor for a time. Beloved, have you ever felt as Jonah did, that you were in the belly of hell, that the sense of God's favor was entirely gone from you, that all God's waves and billows were passing over your head and over your soul? Have you ever experienced that you've been being dragged down to the depths of the mountains, to the very belly of hell itself? Beloved, we've all been there. Not to the extent that Jonah was, perhaps. Not in such an extreme way that Jonah was. But we've all been there. And we all can expect to be there at some point in our lives. But then we're called not to despair of God's mercy or to continue in sin, but to look unto God and to Jesus Christ and to the comfort of the gospel, and to cry unto God from hell's belly as Jonah did. That too is remarkable, that out of hell's belly, Jonah cried unto the Lord. Jonah prayed unto the Lord his God. And that fact itself is evidence that God had not abandoned Jonah. That although Jonah felt that he was cast out of God's presence, that God had turned his back on him, the reality was very different. God was no closer to Jonah than he was there in the fish's belly. And it was God that put that prayer in Jonah's heart. And it was God that brought the words of that prayer from Jonah's heart to his lips and to his own ears in heaven. Jonah had tried to flee from the saving presence of the Lord, had done his best to get out of God's sight. But God had not let Jonah get away from him. He had given Jonah what he wanted for a time, as God sometimes does with us. He gives us what we want in our sinfulness. Jonah did experience that separation from God. But God had not let go of Jonah. And Jonah's prayer from the fish's belly is evidence of God's preservation of him. Jonah's prayer is worth examining because it exhibits the characteristics of true prayer, as our Heidelberg Catechism summarizes them in question and answer 117. And the first characteristic of Jonah's prayer, as of all our true prayers, is that he prayed from the heart earnestly. That comes out in the very word prayed in verse 1. And that word does not refer to a one-time or a infrequent activity done out of routine or of custom. But that word prayed indicates heartfelt, strenuous, intense, constant, day and night activity on Jonah's part. He prayed without ceasing there in the fish's belly. The words of our text are a kind of summary of that prayer that he offered over and over again unto God during the 3 days and three nights that he was in the fish's belly. He poured out his soul unto God. He laid bare his heart unto Jehovah God. He left no stone unturned when it came to confessing his own sin and unworthiness before Jehovah God. He offered a complete and a heartfelt prayer to the God of his salvation. He prayed to Jehovah. And we'll say more about that when we look at the truth that his prayer arose out of faith. But Jonah prayed from the heart earnestly to the one true God only, as all true prayer is. Second, about Jonah's prayer, we notice that it arose out of a deep sense of his own misery and unworthiness as he stood before God's divine majesty. The very distressing circumstances of his affliction gave rise to his prayer. He says in verse 2, "I cried by reason of mine affliction." Jonah understood his own need, his own unworthiness. And on account of that sense that he had of his own need, he cried unto the Lord. As we sing in Psalter 426, stanza 2, "In my distress I turned to God in prayer. In life, in death, my heart will seek his face." Jonah had sunk deeply into sin. He had disobeyed a direct commandment of God. And he did not do that as a quote-unquote ordinary believer, but he had done that as a prophet of God, one whom God had called and commissioned for the special work of declaring God's word of salvation wherever God chose to send him to declare that word. And Jonah, as one who was supposed to be a servant of God, had turned his back on God's command and said, "I will not do your will, but I will do mine own pleasure." Pride and folly. But God had not let him go on in his sin. God brought him to an awareness of his sin, to repentance for that sin, and to confession for that sin. The canons of Dort in Head 5 say something about God's purpose with these sins in our lives as well. That they furnish us with matter for humiliation before God and for flying for refuge to Christ crucified, for mortifying the flesh more and more by the spirit of prayer and by holy exercises of piety, for pressing forward to the goal of perfection. Jehovah had not killed Jonah as he deserved, but God had provided salvation for Jonah in the deep. and had brought him to see his own need for God and to cry out to God in his need. Third and finally, about Jonah's prayer, we notice that Jonah prayed fully persuaded that God would hear his prayer, notwithstanding his own unworthiness. That comes out especially in verse 7, where he says, "When my soul fainted within me, I remembered the Lord, and my prayer came in unto thee, into thine holy temple." Jonah knew and had a deep sense of his own unworthiness, that he did not deserve to be heard by Jehovah God. And yet, faith, worked in Jonah by the Spirit of God, said that his prayer had already come into God's temple. God already knew the needs of Jonah's soul, of his heart, that he would express to God. It was as if that prayer had already come into God's presence. That's the confidence of faith, that notwithstanding my own unworthiness on account of my sin and sinfulness, God will hear my prayers for Christ's sake. And that's the battle of faith that goes on in the soul of the child of God. There are those who would look at this prayer of Jonah and say, clearly, Jonah was distressed. Jonah was in affliction. Jonah didn't deserve to be heard by God. And yet Jonah says in faith, "My prayer came in unto thee, into thy holy temple." Jonah's cry out of hell's belly, out of the fish's belly, is a picture of a far louder and deeper cry out of hell's belly. The cry of our Lord Jesus Christ as he hung on the cross. That was Christ's descension into hell that we confess in the Apostles' Creed. When during the 3 hours of darkness as he hung there on the cross, God poured out upon Jesus Christ all of the billows and the waves of his wrath on account of our sins that he bore, that he had taken upon him, and that he had committed himself to satisfying for. And Jesus Christ, God in the flesh, hanging there on the cross and experiencing all the wrath of God poured out upon him, cried, "My God, my God, why hast thou forsaken me?" He felt himself forsaken. He felt that God had turned away his face. Jesus felt that he was cast out of God's presence, that there was a mountain between him and God. And although in heaven God's voice never ceased to ring out with the declaration, "This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased," nevertheless, the experience of the man Jesus Christ on the cross was that he was forsaken by God. And he was forsaken for us. That, beloved, is your comfort and mine in our afflictions, and especially in our afflictions on account of our sin. That we do not experience the killing wrath of God, although God may chastise us for our sins, but that Jesus experienced all of God's killing wrath for us, as he revealed when he made that cry on the cross, my God, why hast thou forsaken me?" That cry of Jesus is the cry that comforts us when we are in hell's belly, when we are in affliction. And that cry of Christ gives us the confidence that the writer to the Hebrews tells us to have when we come before God in prayer. Hebrews 4 verse 16, "Let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace, that that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. Jonah's prayer out of hell's belly arose out of faith in Jehovah God. Faith that was God's work in Jonah, and faith that God preserved in Jonah in spite of Jonah's own sins and even in the midst of Jonah's great affliction. Jonah says that in verse 1 of the text. Jonah prayed unto the Lord his God out of the fish's belly. And verse 2, I cried by reason of mine affliction unto the Lord. And in verse 6, Thou hast brought my life from corruption, O Lord, my God. And in verse 7, when my soul fainted within me, I remembered the Lord. Jonah recalled to mind the works of God in his life that showed that God was his God. Jonah did not cry out of the fish's belly to some supreme being, to some almighty power that was greater than himself. As we often hear those who do not show that they are Christians do in some time of affliction, a hurricane or an earthquake, or when the Twin Towers are falling, we hear of people praying, of people crying out to God. That was not Jonah. Jonah cried out unto the Lord, Jehovah, the God who Jonah knew by faith was from eternity to eternity. The God who Jonah knew by faith was the triune God, the covenant God, who established his covenant with Jonah in Jesus Christ, and who preserved Jonah as his covenant child, and remained faithful to Jonah even when Jonah himself was unfaithful to the Lord. To that God Jonah cried by reason of his affliction, out of faith and with the confidence of being heard. Now some might look at this passage and say, Jonah was clearly distressed. Jonah was clearly in a state of great temptation. How could he have faith? Isn't this evidence that he lost faith in God when he says, for example, in verse 4, I am cast out of thy sight? Isn't that how unbelief talks? But beloved, this is a clear picture. This is a picture true to our own experience in the midst of afflictions. In the midst of afflictions due especially to our own sin, we have to struggle with various carnal doubts, as the canons speak of them. We have to struggle with this reality, this feeling, this sense that Jonah had, that we are cast out of God's sight. But then, in response to those carnal doubts, faith pipes up. And faith says, in response to that, what we read at the end of verse 4, yet I will look again toward thy holy temple. This is what I feel. But faith says, I will look unto God. And then carnal doubts rise up again. Verse 7, my soul fainted within me. But faith says, I will remember the Lord. And I know that my prayer will come into God's presence, even into his holy temple, and that he will hear me, not for my own sake, but for the sake of Christ Jesus, my Lord. That Jonah's prayer arose out of faith is clear from two other details in the text. The first one is perhaps not so obvious, but it is this. Jonah did not conclude what God thought of him based upon his own feelings and experiences, but he concluded what God thought of him based upon God's own word. Jonah's prayer itself is the Word of God, because all of his prayer is either allusions to or direct quotations from the book of Psalms. And that too shows that the Spirit of Jesus Christ had not abandoned Jonah even in his melancholy falls. Jonah was a child of God who grew up in the sphere of the covenant, who had learned the Psalms in his home, at school, in the temple, who had memorized the Psalms, and who had perhaps at that time questioned, as little children are wont to do, why he had to memorize all of these Bible passages and why he had to work so hard to memorize the Word of God. But now, at this time of extreme affliction in his life, the Spirit worked in Jonah's heart to recall what he had learned to his mind and to his heart, to bring up from his subconsciousness what he knew and had learned as a little child, and to use the very words of God to express the thoughts and the feelings of his own soul to God his Savior. And Jonah concludes his prayer in verse 9 with the truth that is taught in the whole book of Psalms, the whole scripture, of course, but the whole book of Psalms, that salvation is not of the child of God, that salvation is not of man or of man's works or of man's worth, but that salvation is of the Lord. Salvation is from God. Salvation is by God alone. And salvation is unto the glory and the praise of God forever and ever. That was Jonah's conclusion, based not upon his experience or upon his feelings, which were real, but that was his conclusion, based upon God's word. Beloved, in affliction that we experience on account of our own sin, that's how we must think. That's how we must make our conclusions about God's attitude toward us. Not upon our feelings or experiences, as real as they are, but upon God's word, as it is revealed in the scriptures and as it is declared to us in the gospel. And we receive that by faith. This is how God thinks of me, though I am unworthy as a sinner in myself to be received by God. He nevertheless views me as righteous in Jesus Christ. And having that salvation, it can never be taken from me by any power of hell or by any sin of man, even my own sin. Jonah's prayer arose out of faith because he concluded what God thought of him according to God's word. It arose out of faith, or that it arose out of faith, is clear also from the fact that Jonah, as he says in verse 7, looked toward God's holy temple. And he speaks of that also in verse 4. I am cast out of thy sight, yet I will look again toward thy holy temple. And for an Old Testament child of God to say that, I will look toward God's temple, was as much as if he said, I will look toward Jesus Christ. As we saw this morning, that temple, that physical building of wood and stone in Jerusalem, was where God fellowshipped with his people, where God dwelt in the midst of his people, where God said, I will be your God, and ye shall be my people. At that temple, Jonah had seen the sacrifices made to God, the animals brought by the hundreds, and their blood shed out as a picture of the blood of the real atonement that was coming, and that really would cover the sins of God's people in the sight of God, the blood of Jesus Christ. And Jonah knew also that after that animal had been sacrificed and offered unto God, coals of fire were taken from that altar, a burnt offering in the temple. And they were brought into the temple and put on the little altar of incense that stood before the veil that separated the holy place from the most holy place. And then the priests sprinkled incense on those coals, and the smoke of that incense arose unto God in heaven as a picture of the prayers of God's people being received by Him on the basis of the sacrifice that was made for their sins. And as God sat upon the Ark of the Covenant, on the other side of that veil, He smelled the sweet incense of His people's prayers arising unto Him. Jonah understood all of these realities. And in the midst of affliction, he enters in his heart and in his memory by faith into God's temple and says, "That's where I look, even though I feel that I am cast out of God's sight." Beloved, that is instructive for us. Because in our afflictions, and especially in our afflictions due to our own sin, the temptation is to draw away, to fold in on ourselves, and to hide ourselves away out of shame, out of fear. The Word of God says in times of affliction, and especially in affliction on account of your sins, don't hide away. Look to God's temple. Come to church where you see Jesus Christ revealed to you in the gospel, where you hear from God His declaration of love for you, that notwithstanding your unworthiness and mine, we are received by God in love for the sake of Jesus Christ. And we're here in church. We gather with like-minded believers, bought with the blood of Christ with us, and in need of our encouragement in their afflictions as much as we need their encouragement in ours. Look to God's temple, as Jonah did by faith. Jonah's prayer that arose from faith. And because Jonah's prayer arose from faith, that was God's work in Jonah. That prayer was answered by Jehovah God in a way more marvelous than Jonah himself could have imagined. God spoke to the fish, and it vomited out Jonah upon the dry land. If you look at Jonah's prayer, you will not find a request for deliverance from the fish. In fact, you will see that Jonah does not ask for anything at all in his prayer. He makes no request. He doesn't say, "Give me anything." He doesn't say, "Do anything for me." Because Jonah knew he didn't deserve anything, any good thing from God. But what Jonah does is plead God's mercy and confess that salvation is of the Lord. That's what faith does. And that faith was answered by Jehovah in deliverance, not just from his spiritual affliction, but also from his physical affliction there in the fish's belly. Now that doesn't mean that when we pray in faith to God, we will always be delivered from our physical affliction. But it does mean that God will deliver us from experiencing that He has cast us off. And He will give us again the experience of His favor and of His loving kindness. Jonah was delivered out of the fish's belly by the word of God. God spoke to the fish. God's answer to Jonah's prayer of faith came through His Word. And that emphasizes the almighty and the sovereign power of the God of salvation. As God spoke in the beginning and called everything into being out of nothing and upholds everything that He called into being by that same Word of almighty power. God spoke to the fish and it vomited out Jonah. God's Word accomplishes the salvation of His people. God's Word, that is Jesus Christ, come in the flesh for our salvation. And God's Word that comes to us weekly in the preaching of the gospel of salvation in Jesus Christ, that delivers us from the experience of being cast out by God, the experience of being in disfavor with God, that delivers us from all the doubts and fears that through the week pile up in our souls on account of our sins. And that releases us from the thinking that salvation is somehow by what we do, and reminds us that salvation is of the Lord. And if we ever doubt that, then we go to this passage of Scripture and read those simple words, God spoke to the fish and accomplished Jonah's deliverance by His Word. That answer of Jehovah to Jonah's prayer and his deliverance from the fish's belly is a picture of the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Jesus Himself, and this is another evidence of God's grace to Jonah, Jesus Himself uses this event in the life of Jonah and explains it as a picture of Himself in Matthew 12, verses 40 and 41. When the Pharisees came to Jesus and asked Him for a sign that He was the Christ, Jesus said, "There shall no sign be given but the sign of the prophet Jonas. As Jonas was 3 days and 3 nights in the whale's belly, so shall the Son of Man be 3 days and 3 nights in the heart of the earth." At the lowest point in his life, Jonah was still a picture of Jesus Christ, of Jesus going into the tomb for 3 days and 3 nights, where He went on account of our offenses, and where He came forth on the third day because He had accomplished our justification. God, as it were, spoke to the tomb on the third day, and it vomited out Jesus Christ. The grave could hold Him no longer because He was not worthy that He should be held in the grave, for He had conquered death and sin and overcome hell by His cross. And the resurrection of Christ, as the Heidelberg Catechism teaches us, is a sure pledge of our own blessed resurrection in the day of Jesus Christ, when Jesus will descend from heaven and with a shout and with His almighty and all-powerful voice raise our bodies from the grave, summon us to the judgment where we will not be condemned on account of our sins, but where we will be shown to be saved by the blood of Jesus Christ alone before all men, and our cause will be seen to be God's most holy cause. And then by that same Christ, we will be called into the new heavens and the new earth, where we will rejoice forever in the truth that salvation is not of us, but is of the Lord, and praise Him for that truth. Amen. Let us pray. Our Father, which art in heaven, we thank Thee for Jesus Christ, our Savior, and for His cross that delivered us from hell and that lifts us unto Thee. And we pray that in our extreme afflictions and torments of soul, we may comfort ourselves in this truth, that our Lord Jesus Christ, by His inexpressible pains, tears, and hellish agonies, has delivered us from all the pains and torments of hell, that our salvation is of Him and through Him and by Him alone, and therefore can never be lost, but will be completed and will be enjoyed by us forever in the new heavens and the new earth, world without end. We thank Thee, Father, for Thy goodness. Forgive us our sins. Help Thou our unbelief. And hear us in mercy for Jesus' sake. Amen.